So thank you all for avoiding the long lunch lines and joining us in this session. I really appreciate it. The title of this session is Evidence-Based Advocacy. And you hear the term evidence-based a lot in the healthcare setting. And what this really means is that we base the decisions we make and the actions we take on the best evidence available. And so for our advocacy efforts to really be effective, we need to do the same. And so what I'm going to share with you today is a project we did using a method called Photo Voice to actually affect state policy. So my disclosures, I have no relationships to disclose. The learning objectives for this session are to evaluate Photo Voice as a participatory research method to support evidence-based advocacy efforts for individuals with disabilities, and to identify the relationship between a participatory approach to disability research and the philosophy of independent living. Here in this slide, really, this is the foundation for our approach to doing disability research. Research really has an important contribution to make towards achieving full human rights and social justice for people with disabilities. Disability scholars call for disability research to follow critically oriented or emancipatory research paradigms. And what this means is that research involving people with disabilities should embrace respect for human rights, dignity, and equality, and work towards the advancement of social justice for people with disabilities in their communities. The independent living movement grew out of the disability rights movement, which began in the 1970s. And that's good friend Ed Roberts there, who's really considered the father of the disability rights movement and the independent living movement. The independent living philosophy maintains that people with disabilities are the best experts on their needs and supports of the right to self-determination. And so therefore, they should be involved in creating and advancing solutions to address needs that they identify. So community-based participatory research, or CBPR, is a partnership approach to research that complements the philosophy of independent living. And it really seeks to level the power gradient between the academic researcher and the community. It brings people with disabilities to the table as partners who contribute to all phases of the research process. The approach recognizes the community as the inside experts with knowledge of the problem and insight as to how to make a difference. And this is opposed to the outside expert view, where the academic researcher comes in, collects their data, says thanks a lot, and leaves. This really is a nothing about us without us approach. And so active involvement in the research process can promote local capacity building and empowerment of people with disabilities. Photo Voice is a qualitative participatory research method. The goal that uses photography really to enhance the community. The goals of Photo Voice are to enable people to document their community's strengths and concerns from their unique perspective through photography. It promotes shared knowledge through discussion of the photographs, both individually and in group settings. And it also provides a method to reach policymakers and others who can be mobilized for change. So as I mentioned before, participatory research really is a partnership approach to research. And so I developed a partnership with the Disability Resource Center, which is a center for independent living in North Charleston, South Carolina. The mission of the center is to advocate, educate, and empower for a fully inclusive community. And I must point out that developing these partnerships is not something that happens overnight. I worked as a volunteer with the center for probably about a year before I approached them about doing research together. As an academic researcher, I was really fortunate to find a community partner who understood the value of research and advocating for policy change. Gwen Gillenwater, who's pictured with me here, is the executive director of the center and served for many years in Washington, D.C., advocating, for policy that supports independent living and social justice for people with disabilities. She told me many times that the legislators would ask her for the evidence supporting the arguments she was trying to make. And so we really recognize that research using a participatory approach would not only provide the needed evidence, but simultaneously respect and incorporate the philosophy of independent living. And so as we designed our research project, our primary aim of our first project together, because we've gone on to do several more since, was to identify barriers and facilitators to community participation that were experienced by people with spinal cord injury in the community served by the DRC. Our secondary aim was to use this information to identify priority issues for action. The DRC is a cross-disability resource, but we decided to focus on spinal cord injury because my interest in working with that population as a rehab nurse, but also many of the board members and staff at that time were individuals with spinal cord injury. And so we designed a non-experimental qualitative study using a CBPR approach and the photo voice method as a participatory assessment tool and used it for issue selection. And then we subsequently submitted a grant to AHRQ, which surprisingly was funded. So in collaboration with the peer support coordinator at the DRC, we recruited initially 12 participants, but we had 10 that completed the study. And we really purposefully selected to represent the age, race, and gender distribution of the spinal cord population served by the DRC. And here's a breakdown of our sample. They were 60% male. The age was 21 to 64 years old with the average age of 42. They were 50% African American, 50% white. Time since injury ranged from 2 to 36 years, giving a wide range of perspectives. Average time since injury was 24 years. 30% had cervical level injuries, 70% were non-cervical, and they all were wheelchair users. So before we begin our data collection, we trained all of our participants in the methods of photo voice. And the training and sessions included a brief history of photo voice, and we talked about how other communities had successfully used the process to make positive changes in their community. And we also brainstormed about how we could use photo voice to accomplish change in our community. We also had instruction in basic photography skills. All the participants were provided with digital cameras, which they got to keep, and we had training in how to use those. We also talked about safety, and we also talked about ethics and privacy when you're using photography for data collection. Also, we provided appropriate adaptive equipment if needed. The photograph at the bottom there is a young man who has an arm that supports his camera on his wheelchair. And they also use small tripods or cable releases if needed. And that top group is just a few of the photographers there at our first training session. So from our brainstorming sessions, we came up with three photo assignments. And the first one was to take pictures of things that help you participate in the community. The second was to take pictures of things that prevent you from participating in the community. And the third was to kind of create a photo documentary of a day in the life. So after everybody completed the photo assignments, I met with them individually to interview them about their photos. And so we looked at each photo and they described them in detail. They told me what photo was a picture of, why they took it, why it was important to them, and what they hoped to see happen as a result of this photograph. So over the course of 4 months, the participants completed the cycles of photo assignments and interviews. And once all the interviews were analyzed and the data compiled, we reconvened as a group to talk about our findings and the next steps. For data management, we had the benefit of the digital photographs because of the digital cameras. And then we did audio recordings of the interviews and had those transcribed verbatim. And we were able to insert the photographs into the interview transcripts when the people were talking about them. And then we loaded all those into InVivo software. So for our data analysis, I primarily was responsible for this piece. I did the content analysis of the interviews, and then the participants worked with me to either validate or correct my interpretations. So we used the taxonomy of environmental factors from the International Classification of Function and Disability in Health. We reconstructed this in the InVivo. And as we went through the interviews, we would code the environmental factors when the participants talk about them, either as a barrier or facilitator. The five chapters of the taxonomy address products and technology, which includes the built environment and products used in day-to-day. Chapter two is the natural environment, climate, and geography. Chapter three is support and relationships with others. Chapter four looks at attitudes of others outside of the individual, and chapter five looks at services, systems, and policies. And so once we were done with the coding, we really found out that our results demonstrated a fairly equal representation of barriers and facilitators, with the barriers most commonly being identified in the physical environment and also with the attitudes of others. Obviously, support and relationships had the most positive things there. So one method we chose to disseminate our results to the public was through the creation of a video with a selection of the photos and comments from the photographers, which we posted on YouTube. And you can see this has been viewed over 8,000 times. I have wanted to share this video with you, but my Mac was not playing nicely with the PCs here, so the video did not link up. But I encourage you, if you would like to view this video, it's really a nice selection of the videos with the photographer's quotes on them. If you go to YouTube and type in Photo Voice, this is like the second or third video that you will see. And it's called Community Participation After Spinal Cord Injury. And that's where the video would be. I know. So ideally, the knowledge gained through CVPR leads to community-level action to improve the well-being of community members. And a primary goal of our study was to use our findings as evidence to support the local disability advocacy efforts of the DRC. And so educating the community about the issues is really one of the first steps in advocating for policy for change. And so we've shared our results with the public, with rehab and other healthcare professionals, other disability advocates and organizations, and policymakers at the local, state, and national level. One issue that repeatedly surfaced throughout all the participants' interviews and photographs was the abuse of accessible parking. And as we were finishing up our study, our local newspaper was running a series which they call their watchdog reports, where they really were starting to take a look at this problem. And so our participants saw this, and they contacted the paper, who came out and interviewed them. And actually, we ended up with a front page story about this. And this photograph here is just a picture of that story. And this is one of the participants' photographs. That's her van there on the left side of the picture, and someone had parked in her access lane, blocking her access. And there were a lot of good letters to the editor as a result of this story. So just kind of returning again to the term evidence-based advocacy and thinking about my partner's previous experiences in DC, to be effective, advocacy campaigns really require compelling arguments that are based upon reliable and verifiable evidence, hence our use of the term evidence-based advocacy. And here's just one small example. This is a photograph of a parking lot at a grocery store, and I'll use the photographer's words to describe it in detail. He says, "This always makes me laugh. The store goes to the trouble of creating really nice large parking spots, just perfect for a van because of the striped area next to it. The striped area means no one should park there, right? Apparently, the striped area also provides the store with a perfect spot for their cart corral. They might as well put another cart corral on top of the handicap spot it sits next to because it's pretty much worthless for someone in a wheelchair." So as a result of this photograph, the accessibility coordinator at the Disability Resource Center went to work. She contacted the store manager there locally. No luck. So she sent emails and letters to the retailer's national office and also the regional office, and they finally did get rid of that thing. And she so actually says she wishes all access issues were this easy. And I think the photograph really helped make her job easier there. But our biggest effort at evidence-based advocacy involved advocating for the approval of a bill to strengthen accessible parking laws in South Carolina. So through our work with the newspaper, we learned that this bill had previously been introduced into the House twice before, to the legislature twice before in South Carolina, but never made it through the House. And so our team was determined not to let that happen again. So one of our participants, Ruth Jones, who is pictured here, really became the champion for this effort, and she took it upon herself to initiate contact with the House and Senate offices, and she found out when the bill was coming up before the committees and negotiated a time for us to go present testimony in support of the bill. So we prepared booklets with the photographs of parking violations and people's comments about them and distributed those to the committee members while we were up there. The newspaper also accompanied us on our trip up to present before the Senate Transportation Committee. And that is one photograph there of Ruth and I smiling after we presented our testimony in front of the Capitol building. And the bottom picture is of Ruth talking to two of the senators, and her comment was, "I can't believe they wanted to talk to little old me." But they were very gracious. And just some of the words on there are the headlines that kind of follow this bill as it goes along. Parking advocate presses case in Columbia. Goose Creek woman lobbies senators on new bill. Then the parking measure cleared the Senate. Bill aims to stop misuse of handicap placards. And then once it passed the House, the headline was "Parking Cheats, Beware." So ultimately, our efforts paid off when the bill was passed and signed into law by Governor Sanford on June 2nd, 2009. And we like to say when he wasn't doing other things. But on January 1st, 2010, the South Carolina DMV began imposing new higher fines for violations. They cracked down on how disability is defined to qualify for the placards. They made the physicians more accountable for issuing the placards. And they also developed a new placard that has a photograph on it. So really, seeing how research efforts can influence public policy for positive community change has really been rewarding for all the members of the Photo Voice team, and has created a new sense of empowerment and capacity for change within this group. And so after this success, success, Ruth wants to know what's next. And this is just to share some of the other efforts for us to share our success with the wider audience. These are screenshots of a couple manuscripts we published. About four or five of the photographers actually helped me write these manuscripts and edited them, and we had them one published in Progress in Community Health Partnerships and the other in Rehab Nursing, which really shows the power of the photograph and photo voice. And additionally, we put together this book, which we call From Where I Sit. This is a screenshot of the cover of it. Each photographer received a personal copy of this, and we've provided copies to numerous individuals and organizations, both in academic and community settings, and policymakers at the local, state, and national level. And I have a copy of this here with me if you'd like to take a look at it during the break. So in conclusion, our work really demonstrates that the processes of participatory research complement the philosophy of independent living by engaging people with disabilities as equal partners in all phases of the research, including community-level action, and that Photo Voice is effective in providing the evidence for evidence-based advocacy efforts to improve the community for people with disabilities. And that's it. Just acknowledge my funders, AHRQ, the Rehab Nursing Foundation, and the Stephen Stewart Dissertation Award. And that's it. Thank you.